Okay, just a fair warning, everyone. It is recording.
Oh, no.
Okay, is everybody ready?
No, I better put my tits away.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have to put the pants back on. It is what it is. And all that is staying in there, all that awkwardness, because of course it is. All right, here we go. Hello and welcome to Podcast in the Woods, as always. I am Boomer, and joining me is my wonderful and amazing co-host, Gabby. Gabby, how are you doing this evening?
Just fab, friend. How about yourself?
I am doing friggin' amazing. I am excited to talk about what we're going to talk about this evening. And one of these days, I'm going to find one of these movies that you actually enjoy. And we'll see. We'll see if this is the one, if tonight is the night.
Hold on. Oh, man. Don't go making assumptions about me. You don't know me.
That's true. I have no earthly idea. It's not like we have been doing this for a year and a half, and I have found one film in this kind of avenue that you actually enjoyed, and that was Mutant Cat. But other than that,
I enjoyed the experience. I did not enjoy the film.
That's true. So we'll see where you come out on this one. But I'm also excited because we are joined by a very, very special guest this evening. We have with us Sean from Dewey Pod Monster. We're so excited. How are you doing, my dude?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Fantastic. I am.
I have a question, Sean.
Sure. Shoot.
How often do you go on other shows?
We did Jordana and Sam's podcast, but that's, I don't guest very often.
That's what I said to Booms before we started. I was like, I feel kind of privileged. So I feel like I'm finally seeing the face. Like I've never seen anything with your face.
It's
a good face, everyone, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's just, I think with all the crazy stuff, you know, I think John, I have kids like you do and like you guys both do. So it's tough to kind of get time besides the time that John and I already record for Dewey Pod Monster. And then I'm like editing and this last month has been crazy for work. So generally I had a lot of free time and I really don't have it now. So it's it's just tough to get a hold of me, and not on purpose. It's just the way it is.
Things have been super crazy, and man, I was struggling to watch this movie. As much as I enjoy this one, I just literally finished the film right before we began, and it's funny because that made me nervous, but I always get nervous before we begin. And so I was like, well, you know, they always say the thing, you know, just picture people in their underwear, you know, and I'm like, well, I do that with Sean anyway. So that doesn't help.
Little do you know, I don't wear underwear. So
oh my.
You're adding layers on.
I'm feeling a little third wheelish right now that there's something occurring and I am not a part of it, but I'm going to think about it.
Just put the thoughts into your head. Well, before we get
into... Anybody wants to know how Gabby's falling asleep tonight?
Got a good imagination. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Well, before we totally run Sean off and he tells nobody else to come on this show because... why don't we get started? Sorry. And before we do that, Sean, tell us a little bit about Dewey Pond Monster, what you guys do, and where everyone can find you.
Yeah, so we are a podcast. We go about a weekly podcast. I think we try to hit about an hour, and we kind of explain ourselves or describe ourselves as being a podcast about consumption. So we talk, but we mostly talk about movies, sometimes horror movies, sometimes action, sometimes, you know, sci-fi, kung fu. I don't know if we've ever... No, we've done a couple comedies. We've talked about... I think we've talked about beer a couple times. I think we have a couple music episodes. So we try to run the gamut on a couple different things, but generally it's movies. And it's me and my co-host, John. And you can find us at crap.town or on all the social media sites at Dewey Pod Monster.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm super talented, regardless of what anybody else thinks.
Oh, Booms. You're the most talented.
Well, I'm going to keep telling myself that anyway.
I think I'm a dick.
No, I don't think so.
I think Sean is laughing a little too hard at that.
No.
He's like, yeah. I'm kidding, you guys.
All right. Well, let's dive right into this one. We are talking all about Psycho Gorman, one of my favorite horror comedies of all time. The IMDb synopsis says, after unearthing a gem that controls an evil monster looking to destroy the universe, a young girl and her brother use it to make him do their bidding. And this one stars Nita Josie Hannah, Owen Meyer, Matthew Niniber, Stephen Valios, Adam Brooks, and others. And like I said, this one is obviously a boomer pick. This, Gabby did not pick this one. This is something that is right up
obviously.
Obviously. This one's right in my wheelhouse, my sweet spot. The thing that I enjoy. It's got gore. It's got humor. It's got a lot of fun. It is kind of intentionally bad in a way. And obviously, this is not my first watch. But Gabby, it was your first watch. So what was your first experience with Psycho Gorman like?
I was pissed.
Yeah. Oh no.
Through the entire film, because I wanted so badly to hate this movie. If this had been released this year, this would be my number one of the year.
Holy fucking shit.
I loved this movie. I finished it. So I started it this morning, but I have a coworker who's sick, and every time somebody's sick or something happens, I'm the cook of the office. So everybody chips in, and then I make my patented lasagna and apple crisp. And so I dropped my son off at school this morning. I went to the grocery store. I came home. I made the today was stuffed shells. She prefers shells over lasagna, but whatever. I made my shells and my apple crisp while I watched the movie before I went to see The Exorcist, and I had about 20 minutes left. So while I was getting ready for tonight, after I washed my hair and I was like doing my hair and my makeup and everything, I finished it and started it over again. I loved this movie. Fucking loved it. Oh my God. It was so good. Damn it.
Did you like it?
I fucking hate kids, and I fucking hate monsters, and I hate stupid fucking characters, and I hate all that shit. This movie was so fucking charming and hilarious.
Well, on that note, we're just going to end the show right now because
it's sounds like a milestone.
Yeah. I'm gobbed. I really am. I'm like, I'm blown away. So the universe has to, it cannot give me this much joy. It cannot, it has to stick it to me. So we're going to come to Sean next. And I know that you have a very eclectic taste in cinema, and you have run the gamut from really, really schlocky to good things. So I don't know where you're going to come down on this, but like I said, this just got interesting. But your first time watch, was this the first time you saw it, or have you seen it before? And what did you make of it that first time?
No, John brought it. My co-host John brought it up. I think earlier this year, and I don't know necessarily to watch, but something just kind of on my radar. I didn't realize it was a 2020 film until I had actually finished and looked it up. But Boomer, I would say that I would rather stick a bunch of M80s up my rectum and squat over a flaming hibachi than watch this again. No, I'm kidding.
I was about to say, well, that sounds like a good time to me. So you enjoyed the film then?
I kind of, parts of it I liked and parts of it I didn't. I think like my grand kind of summary on it is that The movie walks a really fine line. You can walk a really fine line between being like really like with a horror comedy, especially with being over the top funny and but like kind of be into where it feels like it's really forced. And the movie walks like it walks that line. There are parts where I really laughed. Like I was like, that's hilarious. You know, things that came up that were really funny. Like Gabby, you know, hates kids. Kids are tough. Like they can be really tough in movies if they're too, I don't know, too sassy or too something about them reminds me of a shitty kid. Then I can be like, man, I don't like shitty kids. Like I didn't like shitty kids when I was a kid and I don't like shitty kids now. And I don't know if my kids fall in that category or not, but sometimes they do. Sometimes they walk that fine line. So while I laughed a lot at some of the stuff that happened, some of it, I was like, man, they could have really pulled that back. But overall, I did like it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good point because that girl could be, I think if it were any other child actress, this movie would have gone completely the other way. That little actress, God bless her. Because her character is grating. She does it so well that was one of the reasons that I was pissed the whole time I was watching it. Because I was like, I should fucking hate her. I hate her, but I fucking love her. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of crazy because this is, and that is one of the things that I really liked about it. And like you pointed out, Gabby, like she is terrible. And you're right, in 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, like a character like this comes up in a film and you're going to be like, man, fuck that little shit. But in this one, it's like everybody is kind of in on the joke, and she is just having, you can tell that like everybody in this film, and especially her, is having so much fun with what they're doing that it's kind of like it oh God, I hate using this word, but it's kind of meta in its own way. Our actress knows that how grating the character is. And it's just like, instead of pulling back a little bit, which could have really been bad, she just absolutely just goes for it. I mean, one of the best things to me is that little musical montage, you know, and it's been gift to death now, but that musical montage, and she's just like, and I don't know why that makes me chuckle, but it really does.
Yeah, this movie, the only way to describe it, this movie is Christmas movie level charming. It's just charming. It's just warming. And it's a little too gory to be the horror movie that you introduce your child to. But if they would come out with like a little edited version, a little bit of censorship on it, this would be the perfect movie to introduce your child to if you want them to start watching horror, because it is enjoyable for everyone. This is the Little Fucking Mermaid, the original. I'm sorry, I love everybody, but the new one, I didn't like it. I loved Melissa McCarthy, obviously. The original Little Mermaid, this is the horror of that, like the horror version of that, that just everybody of all ages just is like, oh my God, this is so cute. Like, yeah, it's Beauty and the Beast. It's Aladdin. It's all of the early 90s Disney films in horror.
Hashtag not my mermaid. No.
You're doing so well. I had to go there.
She did a fab job. I am a purist. I grew up in the 80s. That's what I meant. Boomer.
I know. I know.
Boomer.
That was a goddamn joke.
Did you get that?
I did. So Sean, we'll turn it to you. What was the main thing that stuck out to you as far as the good in this movie? Like, what was something that this fucking did? Chewing down on your popcorn or drinking your beer and being like, yes, you know, this is something that I enjoy.
I think, like, I wasn't so enamored with the kid, and I'm not big into musical montages that are, you know, obviously they're playing off of the montage. It's kind of like a throwback to like some 80s movies, you know, like Rocky and Apollo running down the beach or something along those lines. But the thing that And I'm not too crazy about that. Like I'm never a big fan of the music video in the middle of the movie. I don't know why. I think it's because it's kind of been done a little bit. It's a little bit done to death. But I thought that some of the things, like specifically when they're playing their game, they're playing crazy ball, and the cops roll up on them when Psycho Goreman is in his, you know, he's in his Hawaiian shirt or whatever it is, or his Oxford and khakis with the hat on. He's all in his disguise. And the cops come up and he turns one of the cops into, like, I don't know, a slave or whatnot, like a, you know, his minion. And he's all melted and disgusting. And he's just kind of like, he hands the Valentine that's like, please kill me. And she's like, what is this? This is disgusting. And closes it. Just little instances like that where you don't expect, I don't know, you don't expect it to go that far, like, you know, that dark. I love dark humor. I love when there's some like dark element to it. Even at the beginning, when he turns one of the kind of hoodlum guys that you meet at the very beginning in the old shoe factory, and he turns him into just this, like, he's like, don't kill me. And Psycho Goreman says, oh, I'm not going to kill you. You know, and he turns him into this like eternal pain machine. And he's just standing there. He can't move. His eyes are like spinning like a roulette or a slot machine. And he's just this disgusting, like, practical effect. Like, he's just a living practical effect. And he falls over and splatters and turns into all these little pieces. And the mouth just says, thank you. You know, just little elements like that were the icing on the cake for this movie for me. Like I said, I just really love dark humor. And this movie, while it has those kind of elements, like Gabby said, where you could introduce your kid if they're old enough or mature enough to be into, like, hey, check this movie out. You might, the kids might not get it. It's kind of like good kids movies where the kids might not get all the jokes, but they're going to like, I don't know. I don't know what kind of kid would like this, but like maybe a kid like me likes all the gory stuff, and the adults stay because there's the over their heads kind of jokes that they tell, or the over their heads humor that goes on in the movie. So it plays, like you said, meta a little bit, where it has like that undertone where base level, anybody could probably sit if they're, you know, if they're into it. But people that are really into horror or into gore or into the comedy horror thing would appreciate it for the horror and the gore and the other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite part of that scene is not necessarily like when he turns him into a zombie, although that's hilarious. Like, I love how he continues to follow him around and is just randomly shooting his gun. But like when they first roll up, because this is like what really sticks out to me, and then Gabby, we'll come to you next with like what it is that stuck out to you that, you know, makes this so endearing. But my favorite part of that is when they first roll up and they get out of their car, and the one cop says to the other, remember your training, shoot them. And it's like, oh my God, that's so awful. Like, that's kind of stuff just cracks me up. Or it's one of those things also where it just kind of continues to build on the joke. So, you know, the parents are like laying on the thing, and Mimi's trying to convince them that PG is okay. And she's like, he's not going to kill you. I will kill you. I will kill you. I will bathe in your blood. And then just the looks on their faces.
It was nice meeting you. And then he says, it would be nicer if you were dead. Like, that's,
yeah.
That's the level we're talking here.
Yeah,
I will spare you and your idiot family. Like, the lines in here are just what gets me over and over again. I absolutely love that. I love his monologues that he has. It's amazing. All right, Gabby, what about you? What is the thing that like stuck out to you that actually turned you on to this one?
Well, speaking of liking dry humor, most of the jokes in this movie, I mean, are like saltines. I mean, it is just, it's so dry that it's, if you happened to be taking a sip or taking a crunchy bite of popcorn, you would have missed the joke. Because not only is the humor very dry, but it's also very, I don't want to say rapid, because it's not joke after joke. It's not Anchorman, but it's blink and you'll miss it humor. That if you do take that bite, they don't do the thing that in other comedies, they tell the joke, they get the punchline out, and then everybody kind of goes, you know, like it just keeps going and going and going. It's so well paced that if you miss something, you missed it. And that is something that once you pick up on that in the beginning, it's so enthralling that I didn't eat while I watched it. I mean, I was cooking, but I was making, well, stuffed shells, but lasagna. I mean, I can do this shit in my sleep at this point. I mean, I'm a fucking factory for this. So it's very brainless for me that I could focus on that while I was doing my thing. And I was just cracking up the entire time. And the jokes, they were just, they landed so well. And to have the big evil overlord or whatever you want to call him, just be so like, yeah, this is really what they are like. If they landed on Earth, they're really like, they do really just want to kill everyone and cause chaos and destruction. And, you know, but he's still kind of, I don't want to call him a person because he's not. Booms knows this, Sean. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. I cry at everything. I cried at the end of this. It was so sweet. It's just, it has so much of so many different things in it. It was just, it was so good. And I did, I cried.
When you bring up the part about them not giving that extra beat, you know, for the audience to kind of, you know, they do the snap their fingers and oh shucks, you know, it kind of, when you said that, it reminds me a little bit, if you notice the difference between like American sitcoms and British sitcoms, like the American sitcoms, I don't know, you could use like Big Bang Theory, right? When they tell some joke, they stop and they wait for the audience and the audience, oh, whatever they do. But on a British comedy, situation comedy like that, they don't stop. They just keep going. Like the audience, if there is a live audience, they laugh and they don't stop for it. And that's a good point. That's another thing that I kind of liked about it is that they're not doing that wink and nod. They're just continuing on. You know, it's not like, oh boy, the audience is really going to love this. It's like, no, we're just going to keep going because it's as if these are real characters.
It made it feel very natural as you can be with an intergalactic monster in a bat costume fighting right. Other intergalactic monsters in bat costumes. And yeah, it was, yeah, this. Oh God.
I actually thought his costume was pretty fantastic. The other ones though, yeah, you're right. Like the Templars in this
cosplay,
it looks.
No offense, cosplayers. Sorry.
No, you're right. Don't cancel. It is cosplay. It looks fucking awful, and I don't know. And I don't know because
I didn't say that. Boomer did. Yeah, I apologized already, guys.
I did not say cosplayers look awful. I said
you do, Sean. What I don't know. Were you here? That's exactly what you just said. Boom.
He said they look fucking awful.
God, I'm getting.
He probably edited that out of here though.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Hi, I'm Gabby. I'm the new host of Podcast in the Woods. Boomer has been canceled. Welcome to my world.
You know what I love, Gabby? I love cosplayers. Cosplayers are amazing human beings. They always look beautiful and fantastic. And there was nothing.
I would never be mad at a cosplayer.
No, there was nothing else that came before I said those words that I love cosplayers.
And nobody's ever going to hear it because he does the editing.
Isn't that great?
Isn't but that the also, greatest actually,
thing? All that power.
If you leave this in, Booms, actually, I have seen a lot of cosplayers whose costumes are objectively terrible. I won't judge you, though. I can't do it.
That's right.
Man, my cosplay right. would be a white fucking bed sheet tied up. I'm a toga person. Like, I suck.
Yeah. I'm a ghost. No.
I bet a lot of people would like it, though. Stupid.
One of the other things. Thank you. No. One of the other things that I really enjoyed about this was kind of the religious undertones and overtones that this had. And I have no idea what the background of the director or the writer, you know, that kind of thing is, but I really enjoyed that at the end of this, you know, you have this intergalactic, you know, dominating asshole, and ends up being the good guy, whereas like these religious zealots are just kind of pieces of shit. And they, I mean, they right from the very beginning introduced that when they bring me one of the humans and, you know, just squishes her. And, you know, and a lot of that has to do with my personal history. But what did you think about the kind of the way that they treated religion in this one, Sean?
I didn't really put two and two together until the end when Mimi goes into that back room of that factory and there's the crucifix, you know, and all that stuff. And then I'm like, oh yeah, like you said, the imagery of the Templars. What's the main, is it Pandora?
Yes. Pandora.
Pandora shows, you know, she's all white. She's got the wings and all that stuff. And you're like, oh, okay. Now I kind of get what you're, I was so dense. I was like, oh, okay. There's just a bunch. Cause initially when they show them in space, wherever they are in whatever dimension they're in or wherever they're sitting, they're all these different kinds of characters. There's no like real through line, you know, you're just kind of, you're not really putting much together. Like, oh, there's just all these weird alien dudes all sitting around and whatever, talking about PG and how, you know, he has to be stopped and everything. And then, yeah, as you kind of mentioned, the religious imagery really kind of steps up towards the end, and especially the final fight. You're basically seeing like the epitome, or at least in this film, the epitome of good versus evil, with the sword play and all that stuff. And I'm not a super religious person. I never have been. So that's probably why it flew over my head. But yeah, you could really, I mean, by the end, like I said, with that crucifix, you're like, oh, okay. I see what you're getting at here. I'm finally picking up what you're putting down.
I kind of figured that it was something that they did on purpose and that was the undertone in the film, but I wasn't sure. So I was going to ask you, I'm glad that you brought it up. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was really, really entertaining. It was a really great way to show the other side what could happen if the zealots keep trying to take over and take over and take over. Eventually shit's going to go down and it's not going to go in their favor. And that's coming from somebody who, I love me some fucking Jesus. Bring him in. I love him. Give me some Christ. I love me some Christianity. I'm not into the religion. You hypocrites, you bitches, you assholes, stop it. Nobody wants to give you their fucking money. God doesn't need that much fucking money. He's sitting on top of a fucking throne in heaven. Get over yourselves. It's for you. Stop it.
Jesus wanted me to fly in this jet.
What about you, Sean? You've already hinted at that there are some things that this movie doesn't do well. And I know you're not the biggest fan of some of the characters, but is that it, or is there other things that just didn't work for you?
I think, well, I want to say that in the 90s, Guar looked pretty cool, but I went back like a couple months ago and looked at Guar stuff, and it looks really bad. It doesn't hold up. Number two, I think the rubber mask stuff really was kind of a little bit of a turnoff for me. Like, I love shitty movies. I can put up with a lot, but when you can tell all the dialogue is dubbed because the mouths, like, they can't open their mouths on the costumes. They're just kind of like, you know, they look like some really, I don't know, somebody with like atrophied muscles is working a hand puppet or something. It's just really kind of sad. On top of that, I think the other thing, like I said earlier, I think walking that fine line between being funny and trying too hard, I think the movie, some parts did that, especially like the kid characters. I did think it was funny that PG never remembered the Luke's name. I almost forgot it myself, but he couldn't remember it. And that was kind of like a running joke. I think the dad being kind of lazy, and I don't know. He was kind of funny at times, but at other times I'm like, okay, dude. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was just the effects were good. The makeup was good, especially like you said on PG. And I think some of the Templars were kind of like, did they need to have all these guys? I did really laugh at the beginning when the little flying head guy kind of flew in and he looked so sad and pathetic. I was like, that's hilarious. That has to be on purpose. That you wouldn't feature some little character to, like, I think he was when the person got squished into the, compacted into the cube.
Yeah.
You had to be, this had to be on purpose. This thing looks so just crummy that you wouldn't feature it if it wasn't on purpose.
I hope so.
I can definitely agree with you though, Gabby, on the rubber masky kind of stuff, because some of it's like, it feels almost like throwaway Muppety. Like these were guys that they couldn't make it on the Muppets and they were just, yeah, just kind of sad.
Bam, Sean, mic drop. Because do you know what I hate more than anything on the entire fucking planet?
Kermit
Dark Crystal.
Fucking Muppet. I fucking hate Muppets. Fuck them. Fuck everything about them. Fuck you, Muppets. And fuck everything you fucking stand for. I fucking hate Muppets. And you're right. It's Muppety.
Jim Henson, you son of a bitch.
He's rolling in his grave.
He's dead. I'll show respect. Good for you and your creativity. I made you some money, but still, your fucking shit sucks. Fuck you, Fraggle Rock. Fuck you, fucking... What's Fozzie Bear? Fuck everybody. I fucking hate the Muppets. And it does... And actually, like the rubber mask stuff, it was done so poorly that it was distracting. Their mouths didn't move. And that, like, when you're trying to, like, hear the voice, if, you know, when you're filming that and you take the first take and you see that the mouth isn't moving, glue it shut.
Right.
And just have it be, like, telepathic or something, or you know, put an echo behind the dialogue or something, that like when the character speaks, it's like, oh, the mouth doesn't work, but you can still hear what they're saying because they're an alien and who cares, you know.
Do you remember
that actually would have helped it?
Do you remember the Genesis video, like Phil Collins? Yes. Genesis.
Oh, yeah,
the 80s with the presidents and stuff, and they're all sweaty and their mouths don't move either. It's very reminiscent of that. I don't remember what that song is. Mm-hmm. But
Land of Illusion.
Yeah, there you go. I knew that I could picture the chorus or hear it in my head, but I couldn't. Yeah,
that's a
like
great
the
song.
Name. That's the goddamn main lyric in the song. But yeah, that's the kind of a factor, like the puppetry in that was very reminiscent of this movie, or vice versa, however that works.
I or love the thing where they just like some Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like I also thought of the stuff where they add like where they have the picture and it's like they add the eyes and the mouth and it's just talking. I actually though didn't mind that part. I just kind of thought that was that added to its charm a little bit. And I mean it really worked for me. And it's probably okay, so I've heard it a million times that this is like an R-rated Power Rangers. And I kind of get that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm
sorry.
No, you're fine. I get that. And that's kind of why that I enjoy it. Because if you remember back in the day, and I was a little old for Power Rangers, so I didn't really follow all that. I'd already moved on to fucked up shit like Guyver and that kind of thing. But you couldn't help but be aware of Power Rangers in the 90s. And so I kind of appreciate that aesthetic where it's kind of, you know, a DIY thing. The thing that didn't work for me, and it's like the one thing that I'm going to ding the film for, and I find every character in this really, really funny and charming, except for the mom and the dad. I didn't enjoy them, except for there were certain scenes where they were good and they were serviceable is as far as I will go with that. But you kind of brought that up, Sean, where I get what they're doing, but it after a little bit, it just becomes grating. And I understand like he is a total shit bag and he's a lazy bastard and you're not supposed to like him. And, you know, and that's kind of where some of the comedy comes from, where he like, they tell him to fill in the hole. Everybody votes for him. And he does one shovel full and he's like, oh, my hand, you know, but that only takes you one far or so far. And it's like those two characters are so one note. It's him being lazy and it's her playing off of that. And it goes all the way to the very end. And so that really is, I don't know. It was just after a while, it was just like, okay, I get it. I don't fucking care anymore. Do something else.
I can agree with you and disagree with you at the same time on that. I think it would have worked better had it stayed one dimensional. She's the harpy, overworked, overtired, overstressed mom, and he's the lazy, dopey dad. But like, what didn't work for me with them was I am sick and fucking tired and I'm saying this as a woman and a mother and a divorced woman, I am sick and fucking tired of this cliche of the dopey dad. The dopey, lazy dad. Dad doesn't know anything and he doesn't do anything. And mom is always in charge. Shut up. Not all dads are like that. It's annoying to me. And it's really fucking disrespectful to fucking fathers. I mean, if you're an actual father to your fucking kids, I'd be pissed. But that also, and then to introduce this whole, fuck you, I want a divorce. No, fuck you. It was just that was unnecessary to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with all that. That's why, you know, it just didn't work. It was just, I don't know, most of that fell flat to me. But I mean, there were a couple.
Well, especially because at the end, they were all just still one big happy family. Like, yeah. None of that even was, there was no consequence to any of that. Like, it was just like, well, we're going to have this unnecessary conflict and then just forget about it.
No. Yeah. The only people that got really character arcs were, you know, Luke and Mimi and PG, which PG had the best one. You know, it's like he found the power of love to destroy the universe. That was amazing. I love how that ended.
That's when I cried.
I know. I did too, because I was so happy. I'm like, this is perfect. Okay. So I'll go one more thing. And then if you guys have any final thoughts on this, but I wanted to know what your favorite scene in this film was. So Gabby, we'll turn it to you first. What was your favorite
scene? No, do Sean first.
Okay. I will not do that. I will go to Sean first, which was my original idea.
I'm glad you thought of it.
Yeah, I know.
What was my favorite scene? That's a good question. Like, I think I brought it up earlier. I really liked the part. Well, there were a few. I think that I brought them all up. Is that introductory kind of scene where you first get introduced to PG, where you start to see him in that warehouse. He takes care of those kind of thug robber type dudes. And then we see that little, you know, we see the first Templar scene. That's the first part I laughed at. I really laughed hard at was when that like I said, that little flying disgusting thing, that head with like the little mechanical legs and arms or whatever, flew in and I don't know, opened a portal or whatnot. And then I think when the cop got changed over and he's just following them around, you know, like there's a scene where Mimi asks him, well, you think something or whatever, you know, you like this game, right? Or you understand the rules to Crazy Ball? And he's like, and he just nods his head, and PG says, he's just a husk. He will agree with anything you say. I was like, that's funny. Like, the guy's just like, he has no brain. He's just like, he's in such pain, he doesn't even care. So a couple little scenes, and it's all kind of centered around PG and what he does to people, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of speaks to my humor.
Anytime that he is messing somebody up and really fucking over somebody, it's my favorite scene. No, okay. Gabby, what about you? All right. What is your favorite scene in this book?
Well, I wanted Sean to go first to give me time to think, but I think I'm going to agree with him. That whole scene with them walking through the woods, that just the cop is just so not there and he's just shooting his gun. And is he shooting himself in the head? Is that what we get?
He tries to kill himself first.
Says, please kill me. Yeah. And he's just shooting his gun and they're just walking and it's just that conversation and it's just, and then, you know, the Templars come, or are they Templars? Or are they
his Knights of Destruction or something?
Yeah.
Like that.
When they show up and the cop is still just ridiculous. I mean, it was just, it was absurd and it was intelligent at the same time. It was just, it was so funny.
I think my favorite scene, and it's kind of like a two-parter. So I really enjoy when he's telling his backstory, because I think that that's kind of an epic. It really is an epic scene where you find out how he rose to power and all that. And it's kind of like, I fucking love that. Like, if Marvel would take a fucking note, and it's like, you don't have to tell the origin story 17 times. I know where fucking Spider-Man came from. You know, let's just do a, let's do a 30-second thing. Okay, he got bit by a radioactive spider. Got it. And it's the same thing with this. It's like this little thing where it just kind of tells his whole backstory that's pretty badass. But then, you know, to pair that where, because you're like, oh, wow, that's really, or at least I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool scene. I really enjoyed that backstory. But then you go later on in the movie and they're sitting in the diner and he's talking about the warrior's death. And he's like, I remember when I was on the road to something, and then Mimi just interrupts him and he doesn't get to go into his story. Fucking cracked up. I'm like, that's
Mimi
amazing.
Is such a dick.
Yeah.
And that's why that little girl actress she is good, because that could have been a disaster. This movie could have been an absolute disaster. It would have been like fucking riding, instead of a snowboard, riding down a hill on your ass on a fucking cheese grater. Like, it could have been really fucking bad. And this was, they cast her so perfectly, because that was, you're right, Booms, that was fucking hilarious, because you were laughing, but at the same time, you're like, I kind of want to hear that, but that was really funny, so we can move on.
Yeah, yeah. Never mind. I'm guessing we're not going to get that one. But
yeah.
Yeah, that was just, it was so fucking perfect, because it, you know, you think you're going to get this, and there is a tendency in, again, because this is kind of meta or whatever, but there is a tendency to get too much backstory in some of these films. And, you know, you go back and it starts to show the flashback, like he's riding on some space scooter on the Rainbow Road or whatever, you know, and it starts into his story and it just cuts off. I'm like, oh God, that's amazing. So yeah, I don't know why that stuck out to me so much, but like I laughed for a good 5 minutes, and like I had tears, like even now, like I'm like trying not to cry. I had tears in my eyes, like when that scene happened. I'm like, oh, brilliant. This is amazing. I know we've covered a lot. We talked about what we didn't like and we did like, and obviously all of us are pretty much on the positive side on this. But before we get into our ratings, is there anything else that you guys want to touch on?
I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we will get right into the ratings, and always on Podcast in the Woods, we do 1 out of 5, nothing interesting. I don't have any hot dogs or anything like that, like they do on Dewey Pod Monster. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Delicious.
Guys, seriously, every time we talk about Dewey, I get hungry for a fucking hot dog.
Yeah.
I want a fucking hot dog now.
I know. Damn, get it. Your wieners out and listen to the show. But okay, before...
No. Put it on camera for Gabby.
All right, we'll start off with our guest. Out of a score of 1 to 5, with that in mind, what are you going to give Psycho Gorman?
Do you half points or just full points?
Mm-hmm.
No, half points are allowed. If you do quarter points or thirds of points, you're a fucking monster, so please don't do that.
I was just about to give a quarter point.
Well, look at that, Boomer. Look what you did.
All right.
He destroyed the universe.
Thought it was nice having you here the very only time you'll ever come here, because Boomer offended you. And I'm sorry. I would have allowed a quarter point.
4.357 out of... Oh, okay.
I'll round up.
Quarter point isn't that bad, Booms.
I will give it... My rating would be 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I thought that it did a lot of things really well. I thought that, like I said, it kind of pushed the limits of what I would tolerate, but I did laugh a lot of it. I thought that a lot of it was really inventive, but some of it was kind of a little, I don't know, cliche. It definitely had like this, we're going for, I don't know, like late 80s, like early 90s vibe. But I think with like all the rubber masky stuff that was just so off-putting for me, that's what knocks it down the points. At the beginning of the movie, when they started with like the crazy ball stuff and they're, you know, playing their game, and that's how we're introduced to the kids, I was really like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Like, we'll see how it goes. But it had its ups and downs, and I grade across the scale. So if something really is pretty good, a 3 is pretty good for me, I think. So I'm going to explain it away. I'm just going to say, I only have 3 out of 5.
No, that's pretty respectable. That is pretty high for you sometimes. So I'll take it. I will take that. All right, Gabby, we'll go to you next. What are you giving Psycho Gorman?
3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I loved it. I thought it all the humor for me hit. It had a lot of heart. It was really great. But I'm with Sean. The rubber masks. I don't like shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking points off. I can't help it.
I'll take that.
Three.
No. Hey, I'm fucking flabbergasted right now. I thought we were gonna come in here and Gabby was gonna be like, this is some fucking bullshit. 1 out of 5. And so 3.5 out of 5.
I would never say anything like that. I'm very fair, very calm, and very balanced with my opinion. You're welcome.
I think that you set the record for F words on our Brain Dead episode. I'm pretty sure that you did on a podcast.
Fuck that fucking piece of shit fucking movie, and fuck fucking Peter fucking Jackson. Fuck everybody involved in that fucking movie. I don't give a fuck.
I'm with you.
Oh no. Okay. I shouldn't have brought it up. Anyway.
Everybody, look forward to the Dewey Pod Monster Podcast in the Woods spinoff. Sean and Gabby know what good movies are. Coming soon to a Spotify near you.
All right. Well, all I will say for this film is frig off, frig you. You're not my boss. You don't tell me what to do. 4 out of 5 for me. I love this movie. It is such a good time. I can put this on at any time. And it is one of those films that just makes me feel good. And it's funny because originally we were supposed to review Old Boy. So behind the scenes listeners. And I'm like, work kind of fucking sucks right now. And I'm hearing a lot of bitching and I'm fucking tired and I don't feel like doing this. So I just wanted to feel good. So through John, I was like, ask Sean if we can do Psycho Gorman.
Yeah, you're already like mired down and you're like, can we just watch something that's like, I mean, I wouldn't say it's happy, but it's like not so just dreary. So I totally get that. Yeah.
I just wanted
to
feel good.
That's not what
Sean.
He meant. He said exactly what he meant. Work is hard. I don't want to hear any bitching, i.e. I don't want to watch a movie that's going to make Gabby bitch.
No. I think you would actually like Old Boy. I think you would. But it's one of those movies that just makes you feel bad about yourself. So
I love those movies.
Yeah.
Quick question. What is the movie that you guys have seen that has made you feel the worst, but you liked it? You didn't like it. You knew that it was one of the greatest movies you've ever seen, but it was also the worst experience that you've ever had watching a movie because it made you feel like you kind of wanted to die at the end. I have my answer in my head.
I do too, instantly. I'll go first. I mean, I can go first so Sean has time to think about it since we just sprung the question. So a movie that is absolutely fantastic and a movie that I will never watch again. I will never watch again. And now that I say that, there are people that listen to this that are podcasters, so they're probably going to fuck me and be like, hey, Boomer, would you like to come on our show and talk about? The one film that I never want to see again is Irreversible. It is a fantastic film, and it is one that's done so well, but it's horrible. It is fucking horrible and disgusting. And I don't want to watch that movie for the rest of my life. I would rather set my wiener on fire than watch Irreversible again.
Oh, it took me a second. I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, do you have one yet?
I do.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's so horrible I wouldn't ever watch it again. I think I'm looking this up. I'm like, I should really watch this again. Yeah, the original, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I haven't seen that one with Daniel Craig, but the original one.
Yeah.
With Noomi Rapace and... Michael Nyquist. I'm looking it up, so I don't think I could just roll that off the top of my head. But that movie, there's so many bad things that happened to Noomi Rapace, and I don't even remember what is her name in the movie.
Lisbeth.
Yeah, yeah. Salander. There's just so much bad stuff that happens to her, but she gets her comeuppance, and it's like you're just really rooting for her, and she just knocks him dead, and it's like, this is amazing. Like, it's really dark. There's a lot of scenes that are just really, I don't know, hard to watch. But like I said, at the end, you're just like, it doesn't end on a high note, really, but it's still just like, yeah, she got him. You know, that's that kind of movie really, really gets to me. I really enjoy those type of movies. I was going to, before you gave the caveat, it's something you'd want to watch again. It was going to be a very different movie, but that would be one I would want to watch. I would actually want to watch this again.
He's like, yes, it's sallow. I watch it all the time. I just,
no, you
know, just got done finishing that.
Never saw it. No,
it's a film. It's it is a movie.
They put it on a camera.
Yeah. Somebody paid money to film that. Yeah.
This was somebody's work. They were proud of it.
Think of it this way, you guys. Every movie is someone's favorite. Whose favorite movie is sallow?
Hopefully nobody and that comes on this show.
What are they doing in their mother's basement right now?
I always think my like benchmark for that is a Serbian film.
Yeah.
And I bring it up. And I don't think John's seen it. And I'm like, oh yeah, Serbian film. Like, I can't watch that again. That is just it's just depressing. Like, I don't feel good about it. And it's not one that I felt like, yeah, that's like an experience you only have to have one time. You're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. There was that not one. Even I could have, I could have gone with that one, but it was like, that one's, you know, everybody talks about a Serbian film. So let me talk about, let me shine light on this other gem. All right, Gabby, what about you?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
That movie made me so sad and hopeless. And I needed a day after I watched that movie. And it had so many actors in it. Everybody knows my love for Elijah Wood. Hi.
Elijah, yeah. I know you listen, so.
Yeah, I know you're listening right now to Gabby. Fangirl over you since the Paula Abdul Forever Your Girl video. I have loved you for decades. Not even he. I never felt so bad after watching a movie. Incredibly effective.
Yeah, it is true. It is a good movie. I mean, it's not funny. I mean, Jim Carrey was in it, and I'm not laughing. I didn't laugh the entire time through that film. I don't understand. But that is Psycho Gorman. We got to cover that one because Boomer is selfish and he changed his pick. So before we get out of here, Sean, one more time, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find us all over social media at Dewey Pod Monster. John maintains all that stuff, so I probably won't ever respond to it, but you're probably thinking that's for the best anyways. But you can find us at our website. It is a website. It is crap.town. All the latest episodes are there. All the episodes are there.
Love your website name.
Yeah, it's so really good. It's what's so really good. Funny is I love your email address as well. And I don't know if you realize that you got several emails from me. And it was because when I sent that to you, it said sent to draft. And I'm like, why the fuck isn't this email sending? So I kept sending the email.
That's great.
Because
I thought I sent this already. God damn it.
Yeah. Like, why won't this fucking thing work? As well as being a horror fan, Boomer is also an idiot. And so dealt with that. All right. Gabby's just shaking her head. Like, yeah, I know. We did put this out on the socials, and we got quite a few responses asking, what do you think of Psycho Gorman? Two guys and some horror said, it's a fun ride, even though I have no idea what they were going for. Frygay the 13th Horror Podcast said, love the Power Rangers aesthetic, and we kind of mentioned that. Ren, I always love you, Ren, for your in-depth takes on all these films. And I think it was you, Sean, or maybe it was Gabby. Please forgive me for
never
the shitty short-term memory. Said, it's like if Guar wrote, directed, and produced an episode of the Power Rangers, a super fun time that is definitely for genre fans that can handle the buckets of gore, foul-mouthed schlock. 4 out of 5. Primetime Amish says brilliant. Stew World Order says pretty funny and charming, also maybe a little too proud of itself. You may be right. Flicks and Friends podcast. This movie is a blast. The monsters are great. The kids are great. PG is the man. Rudy says it was fun. Captain Arabica? I don't know. I can't pronounce
Arabica?
Shit. Arabica? Something like that. Says,
I don't know. That's a type of coffee bean?
Yeah. Hilarious. Haven't seen it. Love this movie. It's like the live action version of The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. Dave said, I thought it was fun. Melody Ann Hayes said, one of my favorites of the 2000s so far is now one of my favorite comfort films. And I get that. Those were all on X. And we also got a few responses on Instagram. Last two, Dissect That Film, also friends of the show. Hey, guys. Says, I love
Hi,
it.
Guys.
Absolute ridiculousness and a bloody good time with some awesome special effects. And Elski757 says, it was precious. Loved it. And we love you. And if you would like your comments read out in the show, because we always love to interact with our listeners, if you would like to find us on the Asses social media network, which is X, formerly known as Twitter, you can do so at Woods Podcast One.
No, we're never fucking calling this shit X ever again. It is Twitter.
Woods Podcast One, Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Podcast in the Woods, patreon.com/woodspodcast. And would you like to shout out our patron?
Hi, Christina J. I love you so much. You're my best friend. And you're the greatest person on the planet. And I love you so much. You don't even listen, but you still support. You're very busy. And I love you very much. And since I have the floor, I will also talk about our slasher. Slasher.tv, download the app, search for Podcast in the Woods. That's the social network that you will actually get to talk to me. Everything else is booms. I don't give a fuck about X, Twits, bitch. I don't fuck off. I don't care. I do like Slasher though.
Yeah, it is pretty neat. And if you would also like to not listen but donate, you can do that on Patreon.com. But if you do listen and you like what we do, you can leave us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to your podcast, and we really appreciate it. It helps out the show. Thank you so much. That is it for us tonight. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming on. We had a blast having you. I'm glad we finally get you on the show. This was amazing.
It was so nice meeting you, Sean.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me.
There is a face that goes with the voice, everyone.
There is. It's true.
There is always a face. Well, fuck this. Okay. That is it for us tonight. So say goodnight, Gabby.
Praise Jesus.
Good night, guys. And until next time, bye.